Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. You should all know this verse by heart, John 3:16. This is probably one of my most favorite verses of the Bible because God loves us. And knowing that God loves us, that's the greatest thing we could ever hear. Because you know what? God's love is perfect in every way. And even when someone else doesn't like me, I know that God loves me and that will never change. And that He sent His Son to die for us. So if you would stand, those of you who can, as I read from God's Word, John 3:16. And I'm going to read out of the King James Version today, so it's going to be a little different maybe for some of you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm going to go ahead and read 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that Your Son Jesus came to this earth to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, and on the third day to be raised from the dead, that we would have life and have it eternal if we accept this gift and believe upon Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And we thank You, Father, that a debt was paid, dear God, that day on the cross. And Lord, as I preach this message, let everything come from You, Father. Let nothing come from my own words or my own thoughts or the flesh, but let it all be from Your Holy Spirit, Father. Give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge today, for we ask it in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to kind of back up a little bit in John chapter 3 and kind of give you a rundown of where this verse is coming from. Jesus had been explaining to Nicodemus that, you know, basically in order for a man to get to heaven, he had to be born again. Well, when Nicodemus heard this, Nicodemus was a little bit confused. And he'd asked Jesus, well, he's basically like, well, how can a man enter his mother's womb, you know, like a second time? But he was totally missing the point. And so Jesus is explaining to him that it's not a physical birth that he was talking about, but it's a spiritual birth. It's when we come to Jesus Christ and we lay aside the old man, a new birth has taken place. The old sinful man has been laid aside, and there's a new birth. There's a new spiritual life that takes place in us. There's a change within our heart. So Jesus was making sure that Nicodemus understood that he had to believe on Him. That Jesus was the only way to get to heaven, and that we must follow Jesus Christ in Christian baptism. Now, I want you to understand, and a lot of people get this mixed up. A lot of people think, well, if I get baptized, I'm all right. Well, no, you're not. If you only get baptized, but you forget everything else, you're not getting into heaven. Jesus said that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man can come to the Father but by Him and Him only. That's the whole reason Jesus came. And I love the passage of Scripture where Jesus said that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, can you just imagine for a moment that God the Father is giving up His only begotten Son, a man who knew no sin, became sin so that you and I would live and have life abundantly that we could go to live in heaven for all of eternity. You know, I often wonder when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and just at the moment that the sins of the world came upon Jesus upon that cross, immortality had become mortal. He took our place. He took the stripes upon His body. He was beaten. He was mocked and made fun of. And He was treated so horribly. But He hung on that cross out of love for you and I. So I wonder, what was God the Father going through when He looked at that moment when everything turned dark? He turned his face away because He couldn't hardly stand to see His own Son Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, becoming sin on the cross. How horrible that must have been. I mean, really, for God the Father to experience that moment, do we ever truly stop to think about that? Because this is just no ordinary death. This is a supernatural occurrence that is taking place. The sins of the world are being washed away by the powerful and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is believe upon Him, and we won't perish. But according to John 3:16, we'll have everlasting life. So you have got to come to a point and a place in your life where in your heart you realize that you need a Savior. And what happens is God draws you. God is working on your heart and your life daily. Now, I want you to know this. God gave us all a free will. How many of you know that? God gave us a free will. Now, if God controlled us like a robot, well, then all this wouldn't make sense in His Word. If He controlled us like a robot and He wanted us to do exactly what He wanted to do, but He gave us all a free will to make choices, to go our own way, whether we want to follow Him or whether we want to follow Satan. There's two choices to be made. I've always said to people in witnessing to them, you know, eternity is your choice, smoking or non. It's where you want to go. But we all have a choice that's got to be made, and God left it up to us. But God works on our heart. And for so many years of my life, I thought, well, you know, I went to church as a kid. I'm all right. I'll go to heaven. I'm a pretty good Joe. You know, I've never done anything bad. I've never broken the law. I've never been to jail. And I've never stolen or anything like that from nobody. Never committed serious crimes. So God, you know, God let me into heaven. But it was the Scripture right here, John 3:16, that really got a hold of me. I've heard this preached over and over again. And it wasn't until God had touched my heart and my life and said, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Because if you don't, you're not going to heaven. I mean, it was just clear as the nose on my face. And I remember after church that Sunday morning, I went to the pastor and I stood before the pastor and I had tears in my eyes and I was weeping. And I said, preacher, if I don't accept Jesus Christ, I'm going to go to hell. And I'm scared. I don't want to go there. And he looked at me right in the face and he said, let's go pray right now. And him and I got together and we went and got on our faces. And I started to weep and cry. And I started to confess before the Lord everything I'd ever done. But I told Him I needed a Savior. And I repented of my sins and I believed on Him that day. And at that very moment, when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, my life was completely turned around. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in the blood of Jesus. And I believe that our names are written there and they cannot be removed from that Lamb's Book of Life. But you know what? Even exciting more than that, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is the best gift we will ever receive. It's greater than any Christmas gift I've ever gotten. I've gotten some grand gifts before at Christmas time or even on my birthday, but nothing will ever take the place of the gift that I got when Jesus became my Savior, because I was made brand new. I had a home in heaven, and the moment I got saved, a place was being prepared for me. All of my sins were washed away, and all of my fears had been turned into hope. All of the things I'd ever been scared of had been chased away by the light of the Lord's love. I had been given a brand new and a fresh start. And even greater than that, I knew that when I would fail from day to day, I knew that I could pray to God, ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I would be forgiven because of what happened at John 3:16. Now, what I like about this scripture is that who is speaking this word? Here's what I like to say. The Word was speaking the Word. See, Jesus is known as the Word. When Jesus was teaching, do you ever remember? You probably remember in a lot of the stories when he would be speaking the Father's word, the people were amazed at the way that he spoke. They were basically very attentive. And wherever he was at, there were multitudes of people. And they would gather in big throngs to hear what the Lord had to say. And why is that? Because he was the living Word. He knew how to speak the Word from the Father. And the Word of God that we read today, it is inspired by God, and it was given to these men to write. But in this passage, the Word, the Son of God, is speaking these words. He was speaking them to Nicodemus. But only more important is these words are spoken to us and so many other people daily as we read them. Jesus speaks these things to our hearts. Every single verse in the Bible is profitable. And I'm not talking profit far as money. I'm talking about profitable because it helps us to grow. And there is a truth about God's Word. If God says that we can be forgiven and that we will have everlasting life, then you can certainly bet that He says, well, He means what He says, and He means what He or says what He means. I'll get that straightened here in just a moment. And when we read the Word of God, I don't know about you, but sometimes it packs a punch to me. Because I've told you before, I can go through God's Word and I can read the Bible and I could read the same scriptures over and over again. And when I do, the Holy Spirit will always give me a new meaning. Before I read, I ask God to show me what the Word is saying. Give me understanding. Give me knowledge, dear Lord, I pray. And then as soon as I start to read, and after I get done reading, I have an excitable joy that springs up on the inside of me because the Word is given as an encouragement to all of us as Christians. John 3:16 has enough doctrine and truth and revelation in it to save the world 10 times over. And as I said, Jesus is the one doing the speaking. This would be inspired scripture if somebody else had written it. But since this was the words of Jesus Christ, it was coming from him in second person. It wasn't written. What Jesus was saying was not written. This came straight from him. So if you've ever wondered or doubted sometimes, how many of you have ever doubted God? Oh, I have. I'll be the first to raise my hand. You know, and this past week has probably been one of the greatest trials I think I've ever been through. I told y'all last Sunday, one of my best friends passed away. I didn't expect that to happen. Tuesday, I go into work, and we'd set up for his visitation and memorial service, and Alan had been cremated, and all of the family members started to arrive. And all of a sudden, I found myself thinking, this is tough. I don't know if I can handle this or not. And I have felt a huge amount of grief over the last week. And as I started talking with some of the family members, and we cried, and you know, we hugged, and we started sharing old fond memories, my heart started to grow a little heavier. And I started thinking about the verse, you know, that all I had to do was bring my troubles before the Lord. And you know, the Bible says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I started kind of doubting that for a moment there. I started thinking, well, yeah, I've got this burden, and I'm really heavy, Lord, but you haven't taken this off of me. You haven't given me the rest. And it was only then the Lord said, well, you didn't bring it to me. You didn't lay it down before me. And I remember Alan's cousin Billy coming through the front door at the funeral home. I was standing up front door greeting people as they come in. And Billy come in. We locked eyes on one another. And the first thing he asked me, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing very well. I said, I'm trying not to cry so that I could be the professional here tonight. Because that's what my role is at the funeral home, to be a professional. And the first thing Billy and his wife Tina said, well, let's step over here to the side and let's pray. And that's exactly what we did. And we put our arms around each other and Billy prayed. And after, while he was praying, I just started saying, Lord, I give this grief up to you. And as we prayed and as he said amen, all of a sudden the heaviness started to lift off of me. And it was only then that I realized that what I had done, God was honoring His Word. That God had touched my heart and lifted the heaviness off because I prayed and said, Lord, take it from me. So the rest of the night, we ended up sharing more stories together, talking up by the front. You know, people, they'd all come by the front door where we were at. And we were just laughing and having a good time and remembering the things. But the one thing that I really started to focus on more was Alan is in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because one day, he too had bowed and received Him as Lord and Savior of his life. And the moment he took his last breath on this earth, this is what came to me right away from the Holy Spirit. Alan is not dead. He's left the physical body. I want you to understand that. He has left the physical body. The physical body may have died, but the Spirit has gone on to be with Jesus, and Alan is very much alive in the presence of the Lord. And he is having a grand time right now. That's all I could think of. And I'm telling you what, an overwhelming joy came over me And I thought about the scripture and for this sermon, and I thought, wow, we are going to have everlasting life one day. Well, we have that promise from Jesus Himself. The ultimate declaration of this scripture is that for God so loved the world. And this is an ultimate declaration because, number one, look at who is doing the loving. God is. Now, God is the only one who can love us with a perfect love that never changes. You and I will get upset with one another. There's times that human beings will get to a point where, you know, we have a little spat or whatever, or maybe we get tired of hearing somebody, whatever, or we get tired of their little quirks or their negativity, something. And sometimes we start thinking, oh man, I don't like that person as much as you used to. Now our love may waver and differ a little bit, but there is a perfect love that God has. And I've preached that over the last couple weeks. I preached to you about God's love, and then I preached to you about knowing God's Word, because when you get into that Word and when you get to know this God who loves you unconditionally, it does something to your heart and to your life, and it allows you to operate in the human realm a lot more different. What I mean by that is those that are hard to love, if we look at them through the eyes of the Lord, and if we look at people through the love that God has for us, then it's a lot easier for us to love the unlovable, to reach out to those who are in need. You know, there was a guy that, boy, he'd just drive you crazy sometimes. To me, he'd just drive you crazy. He was always happy. Oh, he just always bubbly. And I used to think, man, this guy just makes me sick. And I thought, do I got to go to church tonight and see him again? Golly. And I thought, man, he's got a problem. Well, it turned out the problem was me. And it wasn't until I started praying, I said, Lord, I do have a problem. I am not loving people like you want me to love them. And I pray that you would help me, God, to love people and see them the way that you do. And then all of a sudden, I started noticing that God was putting people in my path that were unlovable. And I thought, well, God, that's not what I prayed for. I'm asking you, God, to change me. Make me what you want me to be. And God's been saying to me, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm bringing you the subjects so that you will quit looking at things through your own eyes and you'll start looking at things the way and how I see them. And it wasn't until then that I was able to finally look at people's heart and not their outside and not what was coming out of them. But I was able to look at the heart and see the good that God saw, the possibility. And it was only then that, and I tell you what, I've told you, I've been in some situations as a pastor that, man, sometimes I'd walk out of a church, out of a business meeting, just gritting my teeth sometimes, wondering, am I going to have to take a spiritual ball bat and knock some of these people upside the head to make them understand what I'm trying to, you know, get across to them or what? I said, come on, Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to love them. I want you to love them. Okay, I'll love them. And the more I loved the people, I started to find out that what once was me here and them over here, little by little, over time, we were being brought together, and then, boom, we were locked together. We were bonded by God's love. You ever done that thing? We used to do this as a kid. We'd say, here's the church, here's the steeple. If you opened up, here's all the people. And I never really noticed until one day I was doing that as an adult. I'll admit that I was doing it as an adult by myself. Show you how weird I am. And I looked at that and I started noticing something. My fingers were interlocked together and I couldn't pull them apart. Because if the church is operating under the love of God, we're going to be bonded together. And we're going to be able to hold up one another and support one another and love. See, all of us, we come from many different backgrounds. We all come from different sets of parents. We all come from different circumstances. But you know what matters the most? Is that we come to church not expecting. I hope nobody ever comes here expecting something from me, because I'm telling you what, you're going to be let down. You really are. And I hope you don't come to church because of somebody else, because you're going to be let down. You really will. I hope when you come to church, I hope you get up of a morning and you say, I'm going to go to church because I love God and I'm going to receive from Him. I'm expecting something great today. Now we all expect, you know, I expect that I love to see is the smiles and handshakes and hellos and the fellowship. That's one thing I do expect from my Christian brothers and sisters. Or if somebody's going through a hard time, that I could pray with them. Something like that. But my main goal is to come to church and receive from God, because if I'm not receiving His love and His power, then I ain't nothing. And that's just flat out it. That'd be like filling up the tank of your car and then trying to drive cross country on that one tank of gas. Sooner or later, you're going to run out and you're going to be sitting on the side of the road going, I wonder what happened. Well, basically what it is, you have to stay in constant fellowship with God to keep your love tank full. Because if you ain't keeping that love tank full, you know what's going to happen? You're going to try to go through life under your own power and your own influence, and one day that love tank is going to run out and you're going to be sitting on the side of life's highway going, well, why am I so crabby? Well, why am I so negative? Well, why in the world am I feeling the way that I do? It's because we decided to step away from fellowship with the Lord. But when we stay in fellowship with Him, and our eyes are on the one who's given us this love, well, you can't go wrong. I've often said, there's no reason to be afraid or to fear, and there's not really. But times we get sidetracked by the things that happen in this life, and we tend to focus on them. Well, Tuesday night, I decided to let Alan's death go. And I just decided to accept the fact he's in heaven. He ain't sick anymore. He's not having to deal with the things on this earth. And he's finally getting to sing with the choir up there like he's always wanted to do. He got to see Jesus face to face. He got to lay down a cross that he bore through his life. And he got to receive from the Lord all the things that God promised him. What joy. And I'm going to see him again. Now, I don't know what it'll be like in heaven, but I'll tell you what, my best friend Alan, he loved Jesus ferociously. And you know what he did in return? He loved people ferociously. If Alan saw you, and Alan was kind of a, he was about, you know, he's 6 foot, and he weighed about 250, 275. If he gave you a hug, you knew you'd been hugged. He'd squeeze the life right out of you some of the time. But I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk through those pearly gates, and I expect Big Alan to be standing right there. He'll run up and just throw them arms around me and just give me the biggest old bear hug again. And how is that possible? Because the one who loved us should be operating through us. Because sometimes we're the only Bible some people will ever read. Our life is a witnessing tool. The how we act, the words we say, and when Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus how to be born again, I mean, Jesus wasn't standing there going, "Oh, come on, Nicodemus, would you get it straight? Come on, are you ignorant or what?" That's not how Jesus was doing it. Jesus was explaining it to him in love. He had compassion. He used some simple words so that Nicodemus would finally understand. Because see, around the disciples, Jesus used to speak in parables. And you remember what happened when Jesus would speak parables around the disciples? Remember, the disciples were going, "What's he saying? We don't understand. Lord, what do you mean exactly?" So Jesus would have to kind of bring things down upon their level, upon their way of understanding, and then speak it to them. They're going, "Oh, hey, well, we got it now." But you know, one thing about God, there's no hate in God. God never changes. Why? Because God is love. And I'm going to read these last two scriptures, then I'll wrap this up. 1 John 4:8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." See, there's no darkness in God at all. God does not do bad things to us. God doesn't set you up for something bad to happen just so he can sit back and get a laugh out of it. That's not God at all. Like I told you, his way of love is perfect. I cannot comprehend this kind of love. No scholar, nobody with a PhD can give you what God's love really means. We have no human comprehension of that. Why Jesus would go through what he went through to die for me, I'll never understand when I'm on this earth, but thank God he did. Thank God that he spared his only son to die for me, that I would have an eternity with him in heaven. And then 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So there you go. Boy, isn't that easy? I hope that we all mark 1 John 4:16 in our Bible and that we read it. We need to dwell in his love. If we dwell in it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to change you. It will change you. If you were in high school, well, I know you, many of you was in high school. When you're in high school or even out of school, if you hung around a certain group of people every day, didn't you find yourself starting to be a little more like them? Boy, this guy sure did. Got in with the mean boys at school, thought I was going to be tough, and I started to develop what I was seeing and learning from them. And then I was doing mean things just to be, I was just trying to be cool. I thought, I want to be tough. And you know what? I was a cowardless chicken. That's what I was. I wasn't really no tough guy. I was a cowardless chicken. But what I hung around is what I became. So what you wrap yourself in is what you will become. It's true. If you wear the coat, that's what's on you. That's what somebody told me one time. If you wear the coat, that's what's on you. And if you're wearing the wrong kind of coat, take it off. Wrap yourself in the presence and in the love of the Lord. Because when you start wrapping yourself up in God's love and you start spending time in the Word and time in prayer and you spend time witnessing and doing what God wants you to do, your life's going to change. Your attitude will change, your heart, your personality, everything will change. I'm so thankful that God gave me the grandparents He did. I was sitting down this morning before church. Last Sunday, I brought my first Bible that they ever got me when I was almost a year old, and they got me a Bible for Christmas. I brought that one last Sunday. Today, I got my Bible. They got this for me for Christmas, 1989. I was 20 years old when I got that Bible. And my grandparents wrote something in the front of that. And I read it this morning. And even though the tears filled my eyes and how much I missed them, came to my thoughts, the one thing I could think of, they loved me. And they loved me enough to make sure that I knew about Jesus. And I thank God for grandparents like that. And I thank God for people in this church that I see that love folks so dearly, and how you all just reach out to those in need by what you do. I think it was last Sunday, Laura and I were talking about that song. I mentioned that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. So I want to say to each one of you this morning, thank you for giving to the Lord, because something you have done has made a difference in someone else's life.